to figure out what I thought would be a good amount. Now, that was very nice of him. I don't know about how many parents ask their kids to figure out how much allowance they should get. So I did a bit of figuring, included my bus and subway fare back and forth to Academy daily and several other things I managed to include. It amounted to a bit upwards of $4 a week. That was a lot of money back then. Back in Noah's day, you understand. I thought it was quite a modest amount. Can we get rid of this hum here? I thought it was quite a modest amount, which I enjoyed for a number of weeks. Then one day, my dad announced to me that he had checked with with some of the parents of my classmates who were also PKs. One of them was the conference president's daughter, and the other one was the conference treasurer's daughter. I'm not sure which one he checked with, but you didn't ask those kinds of questions in those days. Anyway, the rest of the announcement was that he was cutting my allowance in half in line with what my classmates were receiving from their parents. I was deeply offended. I remember saying to myself, "This is my allowance," not where he could hear it. And secretly, I went to my room and wept over the loss of income. That big $2 cut. I really felt like I was being robbed of an entitlement. He was reneging on his promise. But you know, I rather quickly adapted to the idea and learned to live on $2 plus a few cents every week. What else could I do? Looking back and having raised four children, my teenage thinking is a bit strange. I believed I was entitled to his money and that he was wrong in deciding that he was giving me too much. Now in my more mature 2 years, I realized that it was his money, that I was not entitled to it. He did not have to give me an allowance, and he had every right to decide what he could afford. Well, the estate owner in today's parable was far richer than my dad, and he symbolized someone who owns the universe, who gives away gifts in prodigious amounts, who does not ask what other owners are giving their workers, nor does he have to cut his gifts because of economic limitations. I think I'm going to turn this one off back here. Let's consider the parable in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Invite those of you who have your Bibles, whether they be electronic or otherwise. To turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Somebody doesn't want me to give this thing this morning. Beginning with verse 14, I'll ask you to follow along. It begins in some versions, "It is like the kingdom of heaven." "It is like a man traveling to a far country." That's how it begins in some versions. In other versions, it says, "It is like the kingdom of heaven and a man traveling to a far country." Actually, the kingdom of heaven is not there. It's supplied, but it fits because of the context. The man is a property owner, an estate owner of considerable wealth. His servants are those committed to work for him. In the ancient world, people were born into slavery, they were sold into slavery, they were captured into slavery. Somehow these men came to be his slaves or his bond servants. Let's go on reading the story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. So he entrusted his servants with his property. In this parable, there's no conversation between the estate owner and the servants, at least it's not recorded. In Luke 19 is a companion parable, which uses a different type of media, money. And in that version, the estate owner says to the servants, "Occupy till I come," or "Trade with these talents till I come." Actually, it's a different form of money, minus, in Luke. Or "Trade with these commodities until I return." But here in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the servants don't get any instructions, at least it's not recorded. They seem to know implicitly what they're supposed to do with those talents. He gives to one 5, another 2, another 1. Let's take a moment and look at the monetary values here. This is very striking, if we can get the PowerPoint here now. I went to the internet to check the values of current workers. The site is up there if any of you want to check it. And the group that I chose was the administrative office and administrative support workers in Michigan. This is a table of all the average wages of workers in every state. And there are probably about 50 different categories. 43 happens to be office and administrative workers. We have a few of those working here in the seminary. I don't think they quite meet up to this standard, but the median hourly wage for office workers and support workers in Michigan is $15.24 an hour. And the annual wage then is $34,000.360. All right, next slide. The Andrews Bible, study Bible, tells us that 1 talent equals about 6,000 days wages for an ordinary labor. You begin to see that when this man started distributing money, he wasn't distributing money that you could sneeze at. Okay. You begin to think of how much you can make in 6,000 days. That's 6,000 working days. All right, next slide. 6,000 working days equals 1,200 weeks of 5 days of working days, all right? That's about 8,400 days in a year of 360 days, or a total of about 23 and a third years of working days, okay? This is what he gave to the man with the lowest number of talents. I wish this gentleman had been my dad. All right, next slide. 8 hours at $15.24 a day equals $121.92 a day. 6,000 8 working days equals about 23 and a third years, or a total of about $731,520.
That's what he gave to the servant who got the lowest amount, one talent, okay? Now, some of you could use $731,000. All right, next slide. The two-talent servant got twice, two times $731, $731,000 and $731,520. Right? That's about 12,000 working days and a total of about $1,463,040. It's about 46 and two-thirds years worth of work. Next slide. It's getting up there, right? Right. The five-talent servant got five times what the lowest servant got. Five times $731,520. That's about 30,000 working days. A total of $3,675,600, and would take you about 116 years to make that amount. At $15 and some cents an hour, okay? All right. So he didn't say anything to these guys, he just says he left. The one with the five talents went to the bankers, invested his money, and doubled it. Right? He came back with $7,315,200. Can you imagine a servant being a millionaire like that? The second servant, who got two talents, doubled his. He came back with $2,926,080. I don't think you can do that well today in today's market. The one talent servant who might have doubled his lost for his master an additional $731,520. So he actually lost to his master $1,463,040. Now, if you were somebody's boss and they lost that kind of money to your company, I think they wouldn't be with you very long. Okay? So it says the estate owner then, after he gave them his money, left to go to a far country. Now, I suppose in today's language, that would be if he was in the United States, he went to some other continent. Okay. He just didn't go from Michigan to Illinois, okay? This is a far country. Obviously, some other continent, Africa, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, he went a long way, right? But then there was to come and a day of reckoning. And Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 19 says, after a long time. Now, you know, it occurs to me that Jesus has been away for a long time. And seems to me he's gone to a far country, right? But he gave these men enough to last till he came back, right? And even the one with the lowest amount had enough to last till he came back. The other two, I had a surplus, all right? So he came back, he returned, and he called his servants in. I want to remind you that in all probability, these were not the only servants that he gave money to. A man this wealthy didn't just have three servants, okay? All right. But Jesus is giving an example here of the largesse of this owner. And so he calls them in. And the one who received five talents was the first one to report. And he brought in his balance sheet and a check of the amount that he had gotten back from the bankers, the investors. and he brought back 10 talents worth, $7,315,200. And the owner said to him, well, you've done well. You're a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I'll make you rule over many things. Now, if he wasn't already rule over many things, I'm not sure what he was supposed to do, all right? If a man gives me $1 million, and then after I've done well with it, says, I'm going to make you rule over many things, I'm not sure what that means. I have never lived in those kind of figures. The second servant gave his report and brought a total of $2,926,080. Okay, that's the four talents. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter in the joy of your Lord. And then came along the third servant. And he said, Lord, he said, I knew you were a hard man. He said, you reap where you didn't sow. You gathered where you didn't scatter seed. And I was afraid, so I went and hid my talent in the ground. This man took $700,000 and buried them in the ground. All right. And so he says to the master, then, Lord, here is what belongs to you. Look, you have yours. And he handed him back his $700,000. Needless to say, the owner, the estate owner, was a little upset. And he said to him, you wicked, you lazy servant. You know, I know of some bosses who have said words like that to some of their employees. Didn't have quite as many letters. In the military, we got used to that kind of language, okay? Not among chaplains, I understand. And so, the man's punishment ultimately was to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? He hadn't just lost $700,000. He hadn't done anything with it. Okay? He just hid it in a hole, covered it up, saved it till the owner came back and gave him back. Now that's pretty good accounting, wouldn't you say? No, she's shaking her head. Not in the bookkeeping of the master. All right? He doesn't bookkeep that way. He doesn't call people to account to give him back exactly what he gave them. All right? He expects us to do something with what we have been given. And obviously, this parable isn't limited to money. Jesus left his disciples. He said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit in John 20, 22. He breathed on them at that time. And then in Acts, the second chapter, there was the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and they immediately began to exercise the gifts that Paul enumerates in several of his epistles. Ephesians 4:8 says, Jesus gave gifts. He ascended on high, took captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. In 1 Corinthians 12, as we read on the screen, it says that the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes these gifts individually as he will. So God is the one who is symbolized by this owner, this estate owner. Mrs. White says that God has given to his servants the gifts and talents necessary to carry on till he comes back, which I take to mean that when God called you to come here to the seminary, I'm meddling now, He gifted you for this purpose. All his biddings, Mrs. White says, are what? Enablings. So if he sent you here, he fixed you up. That didn't mean that life was going to be easy, but he fixed you up and continues to fix you. Mrs. White offers a list of practical gifts, talents she calls them, a measure of which is given to every one of us, student, faculty, staff, administration. In addition to the gifts of the Spirit, she specifies several other talents. The special gifts of the Spirit, she says, are not only talents represented in the parable, it also includes gifts and endowments, whether original or acquired, natural or spiritual. So every kind of ability that we have is God-given and is a gift from God. Mrs. White goes on to list several things that she calls talents. Among them are mental faculties. Anybody here have no mental faculties? No raised hands, okay. Speech. Nobody here is dumb. I don't mean stupid dumb, I mean can't. No. Okay. All right. Influence. Everybody here has some influence. Time. Anybody here doesn't have time? Now you can say I don't have enough time, but you got time, all right? Health. What are you doing with your health while you're here? It's a gift from God. Strength. Okay, you got the ability to handle yourself, to take care of your house, to drive your car. You've got the strength to do things. Money. This is a strange... Some of you want to believe that God has allowed you, gifted you with borrowed money. Student loans. Well, I'd have to say that is a gift from God. But I venture to say that not all of you are using that money in a way that he wants it used. Some of you are going to leave here with terrible amounts owed because you've used that money to enrich yourselves and to live a comfortable life while you're here, when it's really for your education, all right? So give that some thought, okay? It's not just the fact that you don't use the gifts that God gives you. You also misuse the gifts that God gives you, all right? These are all talents that we need as seminary students on a daily basis, in classes with teachers, with staff, with administration, in relationships with family, and in relationships with friends. Some have a smaller amount, some have a larger amount, but everyone is talented. Okay? When you leave the seminary, what will the Lord say to you? Will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will he use those other words? A few years ago, we had a set of students here who were very vocal about the fact that the seminary wasn't helping them and that they didn't want to be here. I followed them, some of them, and the Lord was gracious enough to give some of them calls. I discovered, though, that a number of them are no longer in the ministry. So give some thought to how God has talented you and how you're using that talent here in the seminary. Now I'm going to close with what I did several years ago. I was reminded of this because Dr. Darius, can't think of his last name now. What's that? Yankovic, yes, came back and said he had the same penny that I gave out in worship about 20 years ago when he was a student here in the seminary. So I have here And then to close our service today, I want each of you to come up, and Dr. Penno and I are going to give each of a penny, just like the Lord gave to his servants. Now, I wish that I could do more than this. This is symbolic, you understand? I think I have.